Good morning, everyone. You are tuned into the Vandal Scoreboard on KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM with myself, James Torman Aldrich, and co-host Jaden Barfus. And if you couldn't tell, we finally got an intro. I recorded the fight song after the homecoming game last week, and that's what that was. It took me a second to get it started. I haven't used my phone with the aux port in a while, and I guess I had to turn everything all the way up today. But anywho, we're going to jump into athletics here on the University of Idaho campus, starting with track and field / cross country, mostly cross country since track and field is a spring sport. But the men were down in Springfield, Oregon at the Bill Dellinger Invite, or men and women, I guess, at the Bill Dellinger Invite in Springfield, with the men finishing 14th, led by Lorenz Herman, Sam Fulbright, and Gage Zanette. With Fulbright and Zanette both finishing with PRs in the men's 8K. And then the women finished 12th, led by Maya Kobolansky, Leah Holmgren, and Pia Kircher. And doesn't look like any of them had PRs. So they were up against some of the best competition in the United States. Number 2, BYU. Number 22, Oregon. And number 25, Portland State, were all in the top five for the men. Montana State actually finished above number 25, Portland, 102, scoring 102 points. I don't know how cross country scoring works. And number 25, Portland, finishing with 125, Idaho finishing with 343. That's for the men. And then for the women, it was number 6, Utah, coming in first, number 12, Oregon, in second, and then Nebraska, Oregon State, UCLA, rounding out the top five. Next up, women's swimming and diving took the win against the College of Idaho here at the UI Swim Center last Saturday. Doesn't look like there's an actual score or anything, but they won, and then they are taking on the University of Northern Colorado as we speak, once again in the UI Swim Center. If you can figure out how to get into the building and into the seats, which I still don't know if I know how to do, it could be a fun afternoon to catch some swimming and diving action here on campus. Once again, that's going on right now and usually runs through the day, so probably about 4 or 5 p.m. So you'll still be able to get to wherever it is you want to go to watch the Montana State football game later today. I'm going to jump over to men's golf, who was just down in Corvallis, Oregon, on October 7th and 8th, finishing in 10th. And they round out their fall season this week, Monday through Wednesday, in Stockton, California, at the Visit Stockton Pacific Invitational. At that meet in Corvallis, the men came in 10th out of 12 teams, with Dalton Dean finishing with 212 points, Samuel Johnson 212 strokes, maybe that's how that works, Samuel Johnson with 217, Matt McGann 222, Joe Sykes 223, and Charlie Simpson rounding out the team with 239 points. Dean finished tied for 8th, Johnson tied for 27th, McGann tied for 50th, Sykes tied for 54th, and Charlie Simpson holding it down at 72nd. The women's golf team took first at the Tri-State Invitational this past week, October 6th through the 7th, over in Spokane, beating Montana, Eastern Washington, and Idaho State. And they finish out their fall season over in Portland, Oregon, at the Portland State Invitational on Monday and Tuesday. And they finished first at the Tri-State Invitational. Mentioned that. Men's tennis has a meet Thursday through Sunday at the ITA Mountain Regionals in Las Vegas, Nevada. And the women are at both the Aggie Classic Tournament, I guess, and the ITA Mountain Regional Tournament both in Las Cruces, New Mexico. So the Iggy Classic Tournament from the 17th to the 20th, and the Mountain Regional Tournament from the 17th through the 22nd. And then to round out our first little bit of action here with the volleyball team, who has had a tough start, to say the least, to conference play. They lost 3-1 to Portland State. That is the only set they have scored in conference play so far, losing on the road to Weber State on September 28th, losing to Eastern Washington on October 4th for homecoming at 3-0, and then most recently losing to the University of Montana in Missoula 3-0, and they face the Montana State Bobcats at noon today in Bozeman. With all of that being said, I hope you all enjoyed the first 7 minutes of me yapping. I'm going to let Jaden come on to the show. Jaden is going to talk about the women's soccer team, who just recently lost to the University of Montana, currently sitting 8-4-2 and 2-1-1 in conference play. 2-1-1 in conference.
Yeah.
Jaden, if you want to tell us a little bit about, firstly, the game against Eastern last Sunday, the game against Montana on Thursday, and then previewing the game against Northern Arizona this Sunday.
Yeah, so good morning, everyone, on a beautiful sunny day in Moscow, unlike the last couple days that have been cold mornings. But, well, for the women's soccer team, it's been a trio of a win, a loss, and a draw. Kind of what I was kind of expecting was going to be tight games against Eastern and Montana. Eastern Washington is the highest scoring teams of the conference, 25 goals. We are one behind them with 24. Their main attacker, Chloe, has 9 goals on the season. She scored against us. That game was a tale of really 20-25 minutes. So the first half, both teams were kind of slow, kind of getting it going. And then in the second half, first 10 minutes, Eastern scored twice within, I think it was 45 seconds of each other. Both beautiful goals by Eastern Washington to obviously jump out to a 2-0 lead. Not something that we here at the University of Idaho last few seasons have actually seen a lot of. I mean, except for this year, we've been down 2-0, I think, twice. But again, not very much. But then, like 10-15 minutes later, we start to build into the game. Annika Farley scores a goal, which all I can say, I believe it was supposed to be a cross, because all she did was look back. I mean, she looked down at the goal and then just, I would say, crossed it into the goal area, and then it happened to go in to open up the scoring. And then it was 47 seconds, I think it was. KV Miller scored her third goal of the season to tie it at 2-2. And then from there, it was both teams had a couple more chances, but I would say a very well-earned 2-2 draw for the last 20 minutes of the second half. I think Idaho was the better team throughout the first half, and the last 20-25 minutes of the second half, they kind of did struggle first 20 minutes of the first half, and which obviously with their two goals. I can tell you that Eastern Washington is a very good team that scores a lot of goals. I mean, that's one thing they do. They score a lot of goals. So for us to kind of hold our own after those two goals was great. I think it showed a lot of fight in this team to not only get a draw, but a draw on the road. And Inside the Big Sky, it's been what I've been telling James and everyone that will talk soccer with me, which is not very many people. But this Big Sky Conference, everybody from the last place team to the first place team can win or lose at any time. I mean, Weber State, who's sitting last place, could go and beat Montana, us, any. So this conference is so good at that. And so to get a hard-fought draw on the road was a very good result for us. Now, the Montana game was, I'm sorry, everybody, but the first half I couldn't watch because I was inside my psychology 320 class. Shout out to Professor Barton for that. But the first half was terrible for us. We had no passing ability. Our defense was on the back foot the entire first half. We conceded two early goals this time, both to Jen Estes, the transfer from Per Instin. She carved us up like we're going to be doing in a few weeks to some pumpkins. So, yeah, it was pretty bad for our back line, but our midfield and back line held their own for parts of the game. But I think Montana's press, their high press, their high intensity led to us going down twice. Us going down 1-0, and then Annika Farley header tied it at 1-1, and then Estes' goal off a beautiful through pass from Chloe. I think it's Seedhoff. I think her last name is. She's transferred from University of Washington, who scored against us last year. She played a beautiful through pass that, you know, that got through Cassidy and Peter, and I think Spring was on that side, and just a game that I think the Vandals needed to see exactly where they are and how much better they have to get before conference play.
Yeah, I was watching the first half of the Montana game and tried to watch the second half, but shout out to their ESPN crew for not knowing how to work through technical difficulties. So I didn't really get to watch the second half, but the most exciting part of this game was about the first 20 minutes. You know, Montana scoring in, I think, the 33rd or 34th minute, or not.
No.
11th or 12th, sorry.
It was the 9th minute and the 14th.
Okay.
14th minute. Yeah. So two very early goals for them.
So Idaho must have scored in like the 10th-ish minute. Yeah, it was just, you know, Jen Estes, props to her. I mean, she looked incredible in this game. It was, you know, probably the most flustered our defense has looked all season. And it just, you know, for them to win 2-1, you know, Idaho going down 1-0 and then immediately answering in about 45 seconds and then couldn't get another thing to happen was a little frustrating. I also just figured out where the noises were coming from. It's my computer. But yeah, I mean, I wish I could have been able to watch the second half. Once again, shout out to the Montana ESPN Plus crew. But, you know, it was a fun first half to be able to witness. You know, obviously, as one of the biggest Montana haters out there, would have liked to see us win or draw. But we'll get him in the conference championship, maybe.
Yeah, so. I mean, the one thing about this game is I've been telling you guys on air and you, James, that we've always struggled against high press teams. Montana last year came into our building and tore and did the exact same thing. I mean, and it's the fact that our main purpose of soccer, our style of play, is to play out of the back. However, teams in the Big Sky don't normally press as high up as Montana was. Montana was pressing as soon as the ball was kicked, they were right there. And so that kind of got us off our game, and we shout out to Montana. Montana is probably I should remember sending a text like six people. This team is the most smooth, fundamentally sound soccer team inside the Big Sky. Their passing is great. Their movement is great. And everything they do is as a team. It seemed like on Thursday, we had the forwards playing and the midfield and defense wouldn't. Or the defense was playing and the midfield and the forwards weren't. So it wasn't this cohesiveness that we've seen over this season and the last three seasons. That's mainly because Montana took away things that Idaho likes to do. And they got us irritated. They got us kind of like, oh crap, what's going to happen now with a quick goal like that? And I'm kind of going to talk about Montana's first goal for a second. That was, I mean, Jen Estes made Cassidy Elliker a Big Sky Conference first team defender of the year last two seasons look like a fourth grader. Like, she turned her around, spun her into like a 360, and scored a beautiful top left corner goal that Paula could have been 7'5". She still wouldn't have gotten to that. But the thing about how to beat Montana, you have to be as high press as they are. You really have to match them. I think straight up, we're probably the closest that matches up with them as the Big Sky. Obviously, with us being 1-2. But how we play in big games is very concerning. I mean, we talked about how we played versus Boise State. How in the Boise State game, we kind of, we score and we go into a shell. So this game, first 20 minutes, we score, they score. They score, we score, and the Montana scores again. And then after that, it was like the players and the coaches were like, okay, we might as well lose. Because the second half, I believe the only shot on goal was by them. By Montana. And our shots on goal were from like 25 yards away. Not even close. And so, to be able to beat Montana, and especially inside the conference tournament, which is at Southfield, I believe it's called, right?
South Campus.
South Campus Field. In Montana, I mean, beating them there in the regular season hasn't happened. They are a perfect 8-0. But to beat them in the conference tournament when the fans are going nuts, every Montana fan is there, it's going to be harder. And I think that this game, in the famous words of the greatest college coach ever, Nick Saban, as he said this morning, a loss like this can be the best thing that ever happens to you. And so I believe this loss will definitely wake up the Vandals and go, okay, we're here, but Montana is still top. Montana is still above us. Until we beat Montana, Montana is the best team inside the Big Sky right now. And until we can beat them, or Montana falls off a cliff, last 5-6 games of this season, it's going to be very tough for us to get first place.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, first place would be great. You know, you go into next season and you have the Big Sky Conference championship on your home turf. I mean, you look at Montana, and I don't think there's a team in the Big Sky. You know, you mentioned earlier, any team can beat any team on any given day. That's exactly how it is in Big Sky women's soccer. But, you know, Montana is just all around an incredible team. Their backup goalkeeper for the season, Bayless Flynn, she's played in 8 games. She's only allowed 4 goals. That's the least amount in the Big Sky Conference. She has 36 saves, also the least amount in the Big Sky Conference. That's just a nod to how amazing Montana's defense has been. And they have 6 shutouts on the season. Idaho has 5. Idaho State also has 6. They've just been an all-around incredible team. They're fun to watch. And saying so many nice things about Montana is actually making my heart hurt. But
yeah,
and they're just an all-around great team, most likely going to win the Big Sky Conference. I don't think it's going to really be close. I mean, Idaho will be probably second, but you still have a relatively difficult stretch. You know, you have NAU, Idaho State. You know, granted, they're 1-1-1, probably still a feisty team.
Always.
And then you have Weber State near the end of the season, who's relatively mid, but as you said earlier, they could also beat us.
Yep, they can.
And then finishing out the season with a team that used to be great and is now just, they're in the Big Sky Conference, University of Northern Colorado. These final 4 games are going to be, you know, you look at them and it's like, okay, Idaho should easily win these. But then you also look at how Idaho's played soccer for the past, you know, 3 years. Really, all you have to do if you're NAU or Weber State is get 2 goals and, you know, hope that Idaho forgets how to play soccer in the second half. And that's really what it's been in every loss this season. I mean, you have the most goals they've scored in a game is UC Riverside, 3-0. You lose to Seattle 3-1, beat CSUN 2-1, lose to Washington State 2-1. You were up in that game. Beat IU Indy 2-1, San Diego 2-1. You lose to Boise State 3-1. You beat Nevada 1-0, tie Utah Tech with 2. UNLV, you beat 1-0. Sac State, you beat 2-0. Portland State, you beat 3-0. Awesome, you scored more than 2 goals in a game. But Idaho, you know, I understand the identity of Idaho has been for the past, I would imagine, however
8
long
years, yeah.
Jeremy Clevenger's been here, has been, okay, we're going to be a defensive-heavy team. We're going to score when we need to. You can't continue to, and Mark and I talked ad nauseum about this last year, you can't continue to try and win the Big Sky Conference as a women's soccer team, only scoring 1, maybe 2 goals a game if you're lucky, and then, you know, trying to go out hot, score first, and play defense for 89 minutes. It doesn't work, and it hasn't worked.
Yeah, I mean, see, the one thing about, okay, the last 2 years, we've had the best keeper inside the Big Sky. We have the best back line inside the Big Sky. Unquestioned. But when you have a brand new outside back, brand new keeper, a brand new holding midfielder is, I think, in my personal opinion, is the most important position on the field. Because that person connects everybody. She connects the defense to the midfield to the forwards, and then the forwards to the midfield, and the midfield back to... She has to be this centerpiece, and it's their first year starting. And so, last year, that style of play could have worked, and... It did work. I mean, obviously with the Big Sky Championship. But, and John, the Argonaut lead sports photographer, John and I, went down to that NCAA tournament game against the University of Gonzaga. And Gonzaga fired off 25 shots like it was nothing. Now, they scored 1 goal. But we really have to get, especially after this season when most of our offensive players leave, we're going to have to find goals and find them in ways that we can play. We can play, obviously, how we want to, to be strong defensively, build out of the back, play our way, but also be a great offensive team. Like the University of Montana. If you actually go and check out the University of Montana's roster, University of Montana doesn't have anybody that really, like, jumps out at you. I mean, besides their goalkeeper, Ashlyn Dvorak, who I think is the best goalkeeper, I would say, in the entire country.
And she hasn't played for...
Yeah, she's been out 8 games. But she, when she's healthy, she is the best goalkeeper, I would say, in the entire country. I know she plays for Montana, but she is that good. She's that dominant. And so Montana is just a team that comes at you with players that are either lower level players at the Division I level that transfer, or they, like Clevenger, has found players and has really built them up. So Montana and Idaho have been building their team the same way. But Montana is always have been an offensive firepower. They have been for years into the Big Sky. And so to go out and to lose 2-1, but the 2-1 scoreline was not the concerning part. Concerning part was that game should have been 3-4-1. That game was not one goal close. I mean, we got absolutely outplayed ever since the game kicked off. Besides that one goal by Farley, we had no offense, and that's our problem. We never have good offense and good defense at the same time, and if we do, hey, the Vandals win, like they did last year against their opponent tomorrow, NAU, inside the Big Sky Championship last season. And then to go on to your point about the last 5 games of the schedule, have to be 5 wins. Have to be. We should beat everybody. We should beat NAU, who I will touch on here right after this point. We should beat NOCO. We should beat Weber. We should beat Idaho State. We should beat everybody we play. But the problem is, we are going to drop 2 or possibly 3 of those games, either a tie or a loss, because we don't know how we go on these tangents where we either go into a shell, or we're like we are this year, we're allowing goals we shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, Montana has Eastern, Sac, Portland, Idaho State, and Weber State. For their final 5 games.
A way tougher schedule than what the Vandals have.
Yeah, but they have Eastern in Missoula and Portland State in Missoula, Sac State, Idaho State, Weber State, all on the road. So yeah,
the only hope we have is that Eastern, coming off a loss to NAU, beats Montana in Montana.
Yeah, it's a really tough rest of the schedule for Montana. Specifically that Eastern Washington game. But once again, it's in Missoula. They're 8-0 at home this season. I do want to quickly touch on NAU and then jump into football. NAU sitting at whatever they're sitting at, you can say.
Yeah, so yeah, NAU is sitting at 2-5-4, 2-1 in conference play. But NAU has played some tough teams. They played Arizona, Grand Canyon. They've played Arizona State, who they tied, Air Force, and they lost 2-0 to Montana before winning their first 2 games of the season back-to-back against Northern Colorado, 3-1 in Greeley, and then a 1-0 win against Eastern Washington at home on Thursday night. So NAU has been... is exactly what Idaho is, a defensive first team. And they have really, really struggled this year to score. They have 7 goals, 3 of them by their forward Haley Phoenix, who has 3 of their 7 goals. And so NAU has really struggled offensively, which should be a good thing for our defense. Now we can kind of play on the front foot now that we have a team that really doesn't score a lot of goals. But NAU has only allowed 14 goals on the season. They have been a really good, really stout defensive team. Just before the show, I was watching them against Eastern Washington, and the Chloe Patterson, who scored a goal against us, she got like 12 or 13 touches the entire game. Like, they know how to close you down and how to really defend. So, and the game's in Flagstaff, which I don't know if James remembers, but I will certainly remember the last time we played him up there. Not inside the Big Sky Championship, but in the regular season, where the goal at the end of halftime that supposedly crossed the line, but it definitely did not.
It did not.
And we lost 1-0, but last year we did beat them 2-1. So it's definitely going to be a game that Idaho should win. Should win 2-3, 0-1. Should not be really, I wouldn't say shouldn't be a hard game, because it's obviously a hard game, NAU in Flagstaff with a defensive team. But if the Vandals want to go far in the Big Sky Tournament, they are, Sunday or tomorrow is the day where they have to show it. It's all about talk, all about we're in first. Tomorrow is about showing it, going out there and I would say winning 2-3-0 would be the only result that I really would really want to see.
Yeah, just to close off on soccer, Jaden, very passionate about this. You could probably hear him hitting the table in the background, but NAU, a lot, you know, as you said, only allowing 14 goals this season. That is the second least in the Big Sky.
Well, just by Montana.
And then having the least amount of shots in the Big Sky Conference, 121, just behind Idaho State, who's only shot 10 more. So going to be a big game for Idaho tomorrow. Hopefully the offense can step up, and maybe NAU's defense is poor tomorrow, and Idaho can pick up a very, very needed bounce back win. Speaking of teams that need a win this weekend, Idaho heading to Bozeman, Montana, already there, got in last night, playing a night game, which has not been great for the Vandals. You know, they played at 7 p.m. against UC Davis, losing 28-26, and 5 p.m. Pacific, but like 7 p.m. in Abilene, Texas, which they only won 27-24, getting kind of gassed there at the end of the game. Montana State, one of the best teams in the country. They're ranked number 3. Granted, they haven't really played anyone. You know, with one of the easiest schedules in the FCS. You know, and you can say, oh, well, they didn't get to play SF Austin. You know, schedule a better game than Mercyhurst. But before I jump into that, just talking about Idaho's win this last week against Northern Arizona, seeing, you know, kind of a shades of a Montana State offense, having 2 quarterbacks play in that game, with Nick Josephette completing 6 of his 7 passes, 109 yards and a touchdown. Jack Wagner, 2 completions, 6 attempts for 15 yards and a touchdown. I'm just going to say it now. Nick Josephek needs to start in this game against Montana State. He's looked, you know, in the games that both Wagner and Josephek have played, you know, obviously Josephek's younger. There's not as much, or he's played in less games. There's not as much tape on him. But he has just overall looked better than Wagner. And if he's playing well, you know, if he's 6 for 7, 109 yards against NAU, I don't care what practice looks like. I don't care if Jack Wagner is slinging the ball against Idaho's defense and connecting down the field. Nick Josephek has looked hands down better, and I would start him and keep him in for the full game against Montana State. Wagner, you know, also kind of went down with an injury a few weeks ago that he's been playing through. I think Josefek has looked better as a true freshman, has fit better into this Idaho offense, and, you know, has just played well. But Idaho's also going to need to pound the rock in this game, not having starting quarterback Jack Lane back like I was hoping he would. But the run game has been good for Idaho this season. Eli Cummings and Nate Thomas kind of sharing the snaps in the backfield, with Eli having 17 attempts, 123 yards against NAU. Nate Thomas, 15 attempts, 67 yards, and a touchdown against NAU. And then Jack Wagner, you know, took off with the ball a couple times. So did Josefek. You know, 3 attempts for 11 yards, and Wagner, 2 attempts for 12. It just, Josefek all around has looked better. And in this game, against one of the best defenses in the FCS,
yep,
you know, probably just behind Idaho, is you're going to have incredible quarterback play, incredible running plays, and a stout offensive line, which is kind of difficult when, you know, you're kind of pulling an offensive lineman off the sideline because they get injured so darn often, and you're throwing him in there and say, block this Grebe guy who has 6 sacks and 7 TFLs on the season, I think. He's just been insane. Sorry, 5 sacks, 6 TFLs. Dude is just crazy for Montana State. This is a game that Idaho, you know, Idaho fans, including myself, have written off since the beginning of the year, since last season. You know, even if we had Javonte McCoy, Hayden Hatton, Therese Traynor, Jermaine Jackson this season, I'm a big history guy. You know, Idaho has never walked into, Grizz fans are going to love me saying this, the litter box and beaten the Bobcats. Just like the Bobcats have never walked into the Kibbe Dome Airport hangar and beat the Vandals. So this is a game that I'm excited to watch tonight. I'm not excited that it's at 7:15 on national television. I love the national presence. I love that, you know, all eyes are going to be on Idaho this week. I know Jason Eck loves that. I don't like being up super late watching football that should be done in an hour, but instead you have 5 million media timeouts because it's on national television, and you're up for an extra hour or two. But, you know, this is, you know, Jaden, you and I talked right before this. It makes absolutely no sense to play 2 quarterbacks in this game.
No.
Unless Josefek, you know, goes down and hopefully, you know, doesn't get fully hurt, but maybe is a little limpy getting up or something. But I just think Josefek fits, right now at least, in this offense better.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a game where, you know, Idaho can pound the rock and pray that Montana State doesn't do the same. You know, Montana State has one of the best rushing offenses in the country,
mm-hmm.
With Scott Trey Humphrey. Sorry, don't want to pronounce his name wrong. And Adam Jones, the two combining for 1,000 yards on 155 attempts. Scott Trey Humphrey, one of the front runners, I would imagine, for the Big Sky Offensive Player of the Year at this point, 669 yards on 92 attempts. For 8 touchdowns, and then backup Adam Jones, 424 yards, 63 attempts, for 4 touchdowns, but he did have a 93-yard run that's kind of boosting his numbers a little bit. And then Tommy Malott, who has surprisingly not injured himself this season yet, has 273 yards on 34 attempts. He's lost 26 yards, I imagine, from sacks. So technically he's at 247 yards, but also has 5 rushing touchdowns. This isn't the Montana State team that Idaho saw last season. You still have Tommy Malott. You have Ty McCullough. You have Taco Dowler. You know, you have Scott Trey Humphrey. But this team is not the Sean, whatever the heck his name was, Tommy Malott, run the ball with your quarterback.
Sean Chambers.
Yeah, that guy who's now their wide receiver coach, I think. Or he's some type of coach on the sideline. So Sean Chambers and Tommy Malott, you know, for the past 3 years, Montana State's identity has been, we're going to run the ball with both of them pass when we need to and pray Tommy Mellott doesn't get injured. Looks like praying Tommy Mellott doesn't get injured is working this season. But this is just a game that Idaho is going to have to play. You know, I know you can't be better than perfect, but is going to have to play better than perfect football.
Yeah, I mean, for me, last week's homecoming game, you and I will walked out of the Kibbe Dome with more questions than we did answers, because that second half we were terrible. My one thing, Nick Josefek was really good in the first half. He was moving up and down the field, and then the first possession of the second half, you put a cold Jack Wagner in there. Tire sputters down our entire offense. Not because of Jack Wagner. Jack Wagner wasn't the problem. But when you continue to sub in quarterbacks, it throws off your cadence. It throws off your entire mojo of your offense. And playing two quarterbacks never works. I mean,
unless you're Montana State. But even then, they still couldn't win a national championship. So.
I was going to say. But Montana State had two completely different quarterbacks. One throwing, one passing. I mean, if you want a perfect example of why two or three quarterbacks in this case doesn't work, look down at Pocatello, Idaho, and look at the Idaho State Bengals. They, for the last 3 years, have ran three quarterbacks, and they've been horrible. They've been terrible on offense. I'm sorry, Dad. I'm really sorry that I do really, really have to call them out, but they really haven't been that good on the offensive side. We, the last, 3 weeks, haven't really looked that good into the second half. Against UC Davis, there was a point where UC Davis could have and should have won that game by a lot more, 20 maybe, because we at times sputter, and we sputter, and we sputter, and we sputter. And against Montana State, we can't sputter. I mean, this team is a lot better defensively than what they were last year. They're playing at home, at night, on ESPN2. I've already gotten some texts from some of the Montana State friends I have that say, we're going to absolutely kill you tonight. So the Montana State fans are pumped up for this game on ESPN2.
Parents and family weekend.
Yeah, parents and family weekend at their house, a place that Idaho's never won. And we have our backup, actually our third string quarterback that potentially could start. On the depth chart, it has both of them listed as starting. So Montana State doesn't know. The fans don't know. So we're definitely going to see who's going to start the game. But exactly what James said, we're going to have to rely on Cummings and Thomas to ground this game away and keep, and as Coach Jack said in the press conference, keep Montana State's offense on their sideline. Keep them off the field. The more they're off the field, the less they can score. And our defense has been killer this season. Keyshawn James Newby with 8 sacks. Jackson Eck got Big Sky Player of the Week last week. So, I mean, and then Tommy McCormick, Matthias Bertram getting a pick. So our defense has been really good this year. But if they're always on the field, they're going to get tired, especially with that Montana State crowd. Will, I'm sure, say some amazing PG-13 things to them. So it's going to be about can Idaho keep up with Montana State's offense, and can Idaho offensively show up? Can they show up? Because against NAU, they did not show up. If it wasn't for NAU throwing two picks and a goal line stand by our defense, we are probably sitting at 3-3 right now.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at that NAU game, quarterback goes out, they put their backup in, backup throws two picks. Without that goal line stand, NAU wins 24-23.
Yep.
And, I mean, you know, you can talk what ifs and, you know, maybe Idaho doesn't get the goal line stand and they go down and they score, whatever. But just looking at that goal line stand, if NAU scores there, it's 24-23 at the end of the day.
Yep.
Idaho has played, as Jaden, you know, talked about, just not good football in the second half.
Nope.
I would say they haven't played good football in the second half
at all.
At all. Except maybe Albany.
Well, yeah, but okay, if we're talking about Albany, the game was already over by the time the second half hit. So the only thing we really did was hand it off and score a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, they almost threw away the game against Wyoming. Luckily, Svoboda is one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen. Almost threw the game away against Abilene Christian with one of the best quarterbacks in the FCS. If Idaho didn't, try harder or try hard enough on that last drive where I think a fumble was forced or something. Yeah. Abilene Christian wins that game. You look at UC Davis. UC Davis exposed Idaho's second half woes, winning 28-26. Mm-hmm. And it, as Jaden said, should have been more.
Yep.
Going into Montana State, I would say that I'm worried for the Vandals. But as the saying goes, if you go in without any expectations, you're going to be okay. You know, I'm going into this game against Montana State. Sam Herder said that we're going to lose by 3 scores. Could very well happen. Once again, a big history guy. If Idaho, under the heading of Paul Petrino, only loses 20-13 in Paul Petrino's final season, I think a Jason Eck-led Vandals can keep it closer than 3 scores. I would expect probably a 7-point loss. But I also... I'm really excited to just see how the defense plays against the best running team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't talk about Scott-Trey Humphrey enough. The dude is just a beast. I think the only running back that's probably better than him is the guy down in Central Arkansas. I think his name's Shenderick or something. Could very well win the Walter Payton Award. Dude's been a beast, but they also just lost to Abilene Christian, so what do I know? But also just touching on this Montana State defense, Brody Grebe, front runner for Big Sky Defensive Player of the Year. It's going to be him and Keyshawn James Newby battling for that award. As I mentioned, 5 sacks, 6 TFLs. They're led in tackles by McCade O'Reilly with 39. Rylan Ort, who has been just a menace for the past few years, with 31 tackles. And then Brody's little brother, Bryce, with 16 tackles in 4 games. So he has the same amount of tackles as his brother in less games. 2 TFLs and a sack. I mean, this defense for Montana State, like, this is a team that if South Dakota State and North Dakota State would just accept an invite to the Mountain West, this is a team that would be national champions probably the past 3 years and is probably primed to win the national championship this season if it wasn't for South Dakota State. I mean, this team is just all around incredible. And Tommy Mellott, great quarterback. You look at their receiving core. Their leading receiver is not even listed on the depth chart as a tight end. He's listed as their starting fullback. Has 227 yards on 13 receptions this season and 4 touchdowns.
Yep.
Ty McCullough, 175 yards, 15 receptions, 2 touchdowns. Taco Dowler, probably the best name in the FCS, 162 yards, 10 receptions, 3 touchdowns. Tommy Mellott, 79 completions on 115 attempts, so he's about 68%. 1,082 yards, 12 touchdowns. He's averaging 180 passing yards a game, and is averaging about 10 yards a pass. So it's a first down basically guaranteed when Tommy Mellott throws the ball.
Throw. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's... I mean, what you and I have talked about. But Montana State went out and was very upset about last year's loss to us. And what did Montana State do? They went out and they really harped on defense. If Montana State had this type of defense versus, I believe they played North Dakota State inside the championship, right?
So last year they lost to North Dakota State in the first round of the playoffs, and then in 21 when they went to the national championship, Tommy Mellott was a freshman and went out on the first drive of the game. They lost to North Dakota State.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but if they had, I wouldn't even say if they had this defense 3 years ago. They did. If they had a healthy offense 3 years ago. That game's not, I think it was like 42-10 or something.
Yeah, well, no, but what I'm saying is that this style of defense they're playing, Santa Montana State really hasn't played. I mean, they're playing a lot more aggressive, and Montana State really last year was not aggressive. They were, okay, we're going to bend and not break. This year, they're like, we don't care. Bam. And so far this season, they've been great. Their offense has been great. Special teams have been great. Their entire team's been great. And so I think with how passive Coach Eck and the offense has been, I just don't see a way that Idaho beats them.
Yeah, and I mean, even, you know, you mentioned special teams. That's kind of what I want to close out on and then get into predictions and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Hall, their punter, their 6'4" punter, has punted the. He's only punted the ball 17 times so far this season.
That's crazy.
I mean, granted, once again, they haven't really played anyone, but 17 punts, 768 yards. So he's averaging 45 yards a punt, 2 touchbacks, 6 fair catches, 11 inside 20, 5 inside 50. Their field goal kicker is no longer 6'4" punter Brendan Hall, who couldn't kick the broadside of a barn door. I've always wanted to say that. I finally get to say that. That makes me feel good. Instead, they have Miles Sandstead there in the kicking operations. He's 5-for-7 on the season. Hasn't kicked anything inside 20, which goes to show just how good freaking Montana State's offense is. He's 3-for-4 from 20 to 29. 1-for-2 from 30 to 39, and 1-for-1, 40 to 49. So this isn't a game where it gets down to the final play and Montana State's going to have to worry if they can kick a, what, 30-some-odd yard field goal? It's like 32, 34, something like that. So, you know, Miles Sandstead is in there. I mean, I guess you kind of hope that it's between 30 and or 20 and 40 yards. Because he's missed one from each of those distances.
Yeah.
But once again, this isn't a game that's going to come down to a field goal. No. This is a game, you know, I'm hoping for a barn burner because I don't like watching crappy football. But, I mean, I don't see a 3-score loss. Giving an official prediction on this game is incredibly difficult. But both teams, being the defensive powerhouses they are, I'm going to say it's low scoring. I mean, it's also at, you know, 8:15 Mountain Time, 7:15 here in Moscow. Jaden, I'm going to have you give your prediction first, and I'm going to think about what I'm going to say.
Okay. Well, I have told people this game will not be close, and through what we've been talking about, I don't see me changing my prediction. The offense has been horrible. I mean, everyone can say, well, we're still 4-2. So what? Our offense hasn't looked good since, I would say, ever this year. I mean, and so going in again, ESPN2 in Bozeman. I believe our defense keeps us in it for the first half. Montana pulls away. I'm going to go 28-10.
That sounds about right. I wish I could have the full history of the 88 games that, or never mind, that's Montana. However many games Idaho and Montana State have played, the history on the Go Vandals website runs from 94 to 2023. Once again, neither team has won at the opposing team's home. I mean, one of those games includes a game in Pullman when they were rebuilding the dome or whatever in 2000. That game was 56-7 win for the Vandals. 2018 was the closest loss for Idaho, 24-23. 2021, final year of Paul Petrino, was 20-13. 16-13 in Bozeman in 95. 45-21 in Bozeman in 94. One of these games actually on this is a game against Montana. I told Jarek about that. He still hasn't fixed it. So the record is a little different than what it actually says on the website. Idaho won 24-21 at home last year. I'm going to say, just to stay consistent with my personality on Twitter, Montana State's going to win this 21-17, I guess. What I would love to see, with the final few minutes here, I'm going to give what the ideal situation for Idaho for the storyline that I would write. You have two Montana players at the University of Idaho, Keyshawn James Newby, Owen Adams. In the perfect world, for the best storyline to be written, Jane, you're going to want to hear this. This is going to be the stupidest thing I've ever said in my life. Okay. Montana State is going to be at their own 40-yard line. It's going to be tied 14-14, right? With like 10 seconds left in the game. Tommy Mellott's going to go for a deep ball to Taco Dowler. But as he goes to throw the ball, he's going to get sacked. Not fumble, right? By Keyshawn James Newby, graduate of Helena, whatever school he went to there. Then, with like 4 seconds left on the clock, Idaho's going to trot out Owen Adams instead of their normal field goal kicker, Cameron Pope.
Yeah.
Owen Adams is going to line up from about 50 yards. He's going to boot it, and Idaho's going to win 17-14. I know that's completely incorrect, but it would make for a great storyline. Final prediction, Montana State's going to win 21-17. Probably a lot worse than that, but I'm going to hold on to the hope that we don't get absolutely crushed, because that would make for a really bad night at the Corner Club. Thank you all for tuning in. Jaden deleted Twitter to get himself a little screen break, so you can probably follow him on Instagram somewhere. Jaden, what's your Instagram?
Yeah, it's the same. Jaden Barfus 10.
Cool, and you can follow me on Twitter at James or JAldrich25. Think or James Aldridge 25. Just look up my name, you'll find me on there.